وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي فلا تلوموني ولوموا أنفسكم ما أنا بمصرخكم وما أنتم بمصرخي إني كفرت بما أشركتمون من قبل إن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم.
After the matter has been finally decided, Satan will say, "Surely, whatever Allah promised you was true. As for me, I went back on the promise I made to you. I had no power over you except that I called you to my way and you responded to me. So do not blame me, but blame yourselves. Here, neither I can come to your rescue, nor can you come to mine. I disavow your former act of associating me in the past with Allah. A grievous chastisement inevitably lies ahead for such wrongdoers." After the matter has been finally decided, Satan will say, "Surely, whatever Allah promised you was true. As for me, I went back on the promise I made to you." On the Day of Judgment, Satan will plainly tell them that God's promise was true, whereas his own promises were false. He will dare not deny it, for it will be possible for everyone to observe on that day that all God's promises of reward and all his warnings of punishment were absolutely true. Satan himself will confess that he had lied and deceived them. He will confess that he sought to lure them with promises, with temptations of material advantage. He will confess that he tried to persuade them into believing that the next life was simply a hoax, and even if there would be any, they would be able to get out of it scot-free with the help of one holy person or another, provided the latter were duly ingratiated by their offerings. Satan will also confess that he deluded people into believing that, thanks to these holy men, their salvation was assured so that they might go about acting as they wished. Satan will own up to all that and confess that all such statements through which he misled people, either directly or through his agents, were altogether false.
"I had no power over you except that I called you to my way, and you responded to me."
Even while confessing all that has been mentioned above, Satan will tell the unbelievers that they had no evidence to support the claim that they wanted to follow the right way, but that it was he, Satan, who forced them into following the wrong one. Satan will challenge them to produce any evidence to that effect. He will also point out that all he did was present a false doctrine in opposition to the true one, and invite them to falsehood instead of truth and to evil instead of good. They always had the option to heed his call or to disregard it. Satan will also emphasize that he had no power to compel people into choosing the way to which he had invited them. Satan was doubtlessly guilty of calling people to evil ways, and he will be punished for it. Satan's responsibility and punishment will, however, be confined to that act alone, the act of calling people to evil ways. His guilt, however, will not exonerate those who made the wrong choice and thus misused the opportunity to choose between right and wrong which God bestowed upon them. They will certainly be held responsible for their actions.
"I disavow your former act of associating me in the past with Allah."
This verse provides another instance of polytheism at the level of human actions as distinct from polytheism at the level of doctrine and belief. For obviously, no one professes at the doctrinal level that Satan is a partner of God in his divinity. Nor does anyone worship Satan. In fact, so far as verbal expressions go, people generally curse Satan. Ironically, the same people who curse him also follow his ways, at times consciously and at other times unconsciously. It is precisely this which has been termed as associating Satan with God in his divinity.
The above statement might be considered by some to be merely one made by Satan, which has simply been mentioned by God, and hence it need not be true in an objective sense. However, it is quite evident that had the statement been a false one, God would have instantly refuted it. Moreover, in addition to the present verse, at several places elsewhere in the Quran, certain types of action have been dubbed as tantamount to associating others with God. Some of these instances are given below. They take their rabbis and their monks for their lords besides Allah. Al-Tawbah 9:31. And likewise, the beings supposed to have a share in Allah's divinity have made the slaying of their offspring seem lawful to many of those who associate others with Allah in His divinity. Al-An'am 6:137. Do you see one who takes for his God his own passion? Al-Furqan 25:43. Did I not enjoin on you, O children of Adam, that you should not worship Satan? Yasin 36:60. What? Do they have associates in Godhead who established for them some religion without the permission of Allah? Al-Shura 42:21. All these examples illustrate that polytheism does not merely assume one form, viz., associating others with God in matters of belief. There is also another form which consists of exalting someone to a position where it becomes imperative to follow him without any sanction for it from God, or even in opposition to God's command. Such an act, according to the Quran, is tantamount to setting up a partner to God in his Godhead. A person who follows someone in this unreserved fashion is guilty of setting up a partner to God, even if he keeps on abusing and cursing him. Even if such a person is not treated on a par with those who commit polytheism at the doctrinal level, nevertheless, his act will be considered highly reprehensible.
وَأُدْخِلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها بإذن ربهم تحيتهم فيها سلام.
As for those who had believed and did good in the world, they shall be admitted to the gardens beneath which rivers flow. There, with the leave of Allah, they shall abide forever and will be greeted with peace. The word tahiyya literally means wishing someone to have a long life. In actual practice, however, this is an expression of greeting or welcome which is uttered when a person meets another. Hence, we have considered it as the equivalent of greeting someone with peace.
أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ.
Do you not see how Allah has given the example of a good word? It is like a good tree whose root is firmly fixed and whose branches reach the sky. Do you not see how Allah has given the example of a good word?
Literally, the expression kalima tayyiba means a good word. However, it also stands for the statement about truth and sound belief which fully conforms to truth and reality. Such a statement, according to the Quran, could only be one that consists of affirming doctrines of the unity of God, prophethood, heavenly scriptures, and the hereafter, since these are the fundamental truths as expounded by the Quran.
It is like a good tree whose root is firmly fixed and whose branches reach the sky.
In other words, since the entire system which encompasses the heavens and the earth is based on the truth expressed in the basic doctrinal statement of the believer, there is no God other than Allah, it never comes into conflict with the law of nature. Nor does human nature feel any aversion to the truth which it expresses, nor with any other fact of the universe. Hence, the earth with its entire system extends its cooperation to him, and the heaven with its entire system welcomes him.
تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون.
Ever yielding its fruit in every season with the leave of its Lord, Allah gives examples for mankind that they may take heed. Ever yielding its fruit in every season with the leave of its Lord.
The good word is so highly fruitful and productive that were individuals or groups of people to base their lives on it, they will continually benefit from the good results ensuing from it. For it brings about clarity in thought, stability in attitude, moderation in temperament, firmness in character, purity in morals, truthfulness in speech, strength in commitment, honesty in dealings with others, refinement in social relationships, elegance and finesse in culture, balance and equilibrium in collective life, justice and compassion in economy, honesty in politics, magnanimity in war, sincerity in peace, and faithfulness in covenant. Like Midas, everything that it touches turns into gold.
ومثل كلمة خبيثة كشجرة خبيثة اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار.
And the example of an evil word is that of an evil tree uprooted from the surface of the earth, wholly unable to endure. At the example of an evil word.
The evil word is obviously just the opposite of the good word. It embraces every variety of falsehood. In the above verse, however, it refers to all false doctrines: atheism, deism, polytheism, idolatry. In short, every worldview other than the one taught by the prophets.
Is that of an evil tree uprooted from the surface of the earth, wholly unable to endure.
In other words, the Quran says that since every false doctrine is opposed to reality, it is totally out of tune with the law of nature. Every particle of the universe rejects and refutes it. One might say, if its seeds are sown, the earth will be ever inclined to cast it away. And if these seeds grow into a tree, the heavens will press upon its branches so as to dwarf it. Had man not been granted freedom of choice and respite to show his performance, the evil word would not have been allowed to grow at all. However, since God has allowed man to do what he wants to, when some foolish people expend their energies to make this evil tree grow, it grows a little, but only after a considerable struggle against nature. However, as long as the tree remains, it produces poisonous and bitter fruit. Whenever the circumstances change, just one blow of vicissitude suffices to root it out. Anyone who is acquainted with the religious, moral, intellectual, and cultural history of mankind will appreciate the difference between the good word and the evil word. It is clear that from the very outset, the good word has been one and the same. As for evil words, they have simply been innumerable. Despite all efforts to the contrary, it has never been possible to extirpate the good word, but history is replete with the carcasses of thousands of evil words. Many of them have totally disappeared. If they exist anywhere, it is in the annals of the past. Many evil doctrines which were once fashionable have been relegated to such obscurity that people today are scarcely even aware of them. And if they do come into contact with them, they simply wonder at the rank follies that had once been cherished by others like them. In sharp contrast is the good word. Whenever a person or a nation embraces it sincerely, like perfume, it radiates its fragrance all around. Its blessings enrich those who embrace it, as well as those around. Whenever the evil word has struck its roots, it has proved a curse for the entire area around it. It is a tree which produces thorns from the prick of which barely anyone escapes. Its foul smell vitiates the entire surroundings. For a better understanding of this parable, reference may be made to a preceding verse of this surah which embodies the same idea. The example of those who disbelieve in their Lord, their words are like ashes upon which the wind blows fiercely on a tempestuous day. Verse 18. The same point has been driven home, see Al-Ra'd 13:17, through the parables of swelling scum caused by torrential rains and the scum from smelting metals.
يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء.
Thus, through a firm word, Allah grants firmness to the believers both in this world and in the hereafter. And the wrongdoers, Allah lets them go astray. Allah does whatever He wills.
Thus, through a firm word, Allah grants firmness to the believers both in this world and in the hereafter.
The good word provides believers with a firm intellectual frame of reference, a stable perspective, and an all-embracing worldview. Thanks to all that, they come to possess the master key which helps them solve all the complicated problems of life. Through the good word, the conduct and morals of people acquire firmness and are scarcely affected by the violent vicissitudes of time. Through it, the believers are able to grasp a set of solid principles which provides them with mental peace on the one hand and prevents them from stumbling into confusion on the other. These blessings of the good word are not confined to this life. In the hereafter too, the good word will save them from falling prey to any unusual fear and anxiety. For everything will happen as they had already been told. They will step into the next world and will feel as if they are on familiar territory. Nothing will come to pass there about which they had not been foretold and for which they were mentally unprepared. As a result, they will pass through every stage of the next life with steady steps. Their experience of the hereafter will therefore be altogether different from that of the unbelievers. The latter will find everything in the hereafter quite contrary to their expectation.
As for the wrongdoers, Allah lets them go astray.
As to those who follow the evil rather than the good word, God lets them fall prey to mental confusion and causes their efforts to go to waste. Such people are unable to find the right way. In sum, their efforts prove to be of no avail.